John chapter 7. Our vacation Bible school will be June 12th through 14th. That's the following Tuesday through Thursday, from 10:30 a.m. in the morning to 1 p.m. Also, tonight we will observe the Lord's table, and we'll have a fellowship afterwards for our graduating seniors and bring an appetizer or dessert. I'm looking forward to that. John chapter 7. Let's begin reading in verse 40 and read through the end of the chapter. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, "Of a truth, this is the prophet." Others said, "This is the Christ." But some said, "Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the Scriptures said that Christ cometh of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was?" So there was a division among the people because of him. And some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, "Why have you not brought him?" The officers answered, Never man spake like this man. Then answered them the Pharisees, "Are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed." Nicodemus saith unto them, he that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, "Doth our law judge any man before it hear him, and know not what he doeth?" They answered and said unto him, "Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for no out of Galilee ariseth no prophet." And every man went unto his own house, and Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. Now, I want you to see what you would think in that passage of Scripture, that narrative that I just read. See what you would think would be the verse that would most accurately describe this narrative. What verse would you select? Well, here's the verse I would select, verse 43. "So there was a division among the people because of him." And that's what I've titled this message: "A division because of him." Hold your finger there and turn to Luke chapter 12. Verse 51. "Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you, no. But rather, what? Division." Division. There was a division among the people because of him. The Lord did not come to make the human race one big happy family. That was not his purpose in coming. He tells us in no uncertain terms, he came to make division. What do you think of that? How do you respond to that? The word division is where we get the word schism from. You've heard that word. The word is used for the rending and the tearing apart of garments. There was a division, a rending asunder, a separation because of him. Now that doesn't go well with what this religious world generally thinks of the Lord Jesus Christ, does it? Every believer is a peacemaker. Every believer, I want to repeat that, every believer is a peacemaker. And if I'm not a peacemaker, I'm not a believer. Every believer is a peacemaker. But his message of peace will provoke the hostility of those who do not believe his message. While we're not looking for a fight, we're not looking for conflict, we're still aware that if we please the natural man by what we say, if we are well thought of by this religious world, we are not being faithful to the message of Jesus Christ. That's just the truth. There was a division among the people because of him. There was a lot of conflict during the earthly ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. On many occasions, people tried to kill him because of what he said. You're in Luke. Turn to Luke 4 for just a moment. Luke 4. Verse 28. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things that the Lord Jesus said, they were filled with wrath. And they rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him under the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. Now these people were mad. They were angry. I'm not even going to go into what he said right now. Look in John chapter 5. Let's look at several scriptures regarding this. John chapter 5. Verse 16. Therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him. Now this wasn't just, you know, we believe different things, but we'll get along. No, they wanted to kill him. They sought to slay him because he'd done these things on the Sabbath day. Look in chapter 8, verse 56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, you're not yet 50 years old. And hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him. Chapter 9, verse 16. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that's a sinner do such miracles? And here's the word again. And there was a division among them. Look in chapter 10. Verse 19. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews, for these sayings, what our Lord had to say. Look in verse 31 of the same chapter. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Now we see that during our Lord's earthly ministry, there was a lot of conflict, wasn't there? Somebody is being willfully blind did not acknowledge that. There was a lot of conflict. And we know that his life ended up a violent. It didn't end up. He was raised from the dead. So understand what I'm saying. But when he died a violent, bloody death by men who hated him and murdered him. Now, I realize that no man took his life from him. He laid it down of himself. They couldn't do anything but what he decreed for them to do. But still, they murdered him. There was a conflict then, and there is conflict now. And that division is because of Him. Now hear what I'm saying. That division is because of Him. In this world, in this nation, in this city, and in this room, there is a division among the people. And when all the veneer is stripped off, that division is because of Him. That's the bottom line. The division is because of Him. Now, I want to look at this from a couple of different angles. A division because of Him. That's what it says. There was a division among the people. A rent, a tear, a separation. There was a division among the people because of Him. Now, here's the first thing I want to say about that. He Himself is the division. He Himself is the difference between the saved and the lost. There are only two kinds of people in this world: children of God and children of the devil. There's no in between. Those who love Christ and those who do not love Christ. Those who see Him as all and those who do not see Him as all. Those who trust Him and those who do not trust Him. Those who believe and those who do not believe. There are only two kinds of people in this world. There's no in-between state. There's no kind of intermediate somewhere in between. Saved or lost. And He is the difference between the two. Now I want you to listen to me right now as carefully as you can. Ask God to give you grace to hear what I'm saying. Here is something that I personally can say with deep, deep conviction. I'm sure of this. And even when I say that, I fear self-deception. I really do. But I'm sure of this. Concerning myself, talking about me right now, concerning myself, the only hope I have is in Jesus Christ alone. I can say that for many reasons, but let me give you this one reason. I don't have any confidence except in Him. I do not know of anything I ever did, thought, or was that I could have confidence in. I know something about what Paul meant when he said we're to have no confidence in the flesh. I am driven to trust Him only because I have nothing else to trust. If I search my life over and over again, I cannot see anything but what I would call a filthy rag. That's what the Bible calls it too. I want to read a quote from Charles Spurgeon. Every time I preach, I always look to see if he preached a message on the passage of Scripture I'm trying to preach from. And he preached from this passage of Scripture. And he made this statement in his sermon on John chapter 7, verse 43. He says, good works and bad works, so far as mine are concerned, are not worth the trouble of sorting. So I tie them up in one bundle and pitch them overboard. And just cling to the ever-blessed life buoy of the merits of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. This is what a believer does. He trusts Christ. And the unbeliever does not, and that difference between them makes a division among the people. There's the difference. Let's take Judas and Peter. What was the difference between those two men? Was Peter's act of denying Christ any less sinful than Judas' act? You know it wasn't. What's the difference? Here's the difference. Christ said, "Peter, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not." Did he pray that prayer for Judas Iscariot? Did he say regarding Judas, "I prayed for you"? No, he didn't. As a matter of fact, he said in John chapter 17, verse 9, "I pray for them," speaking of the elect, "I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine." The difference between Judas and Peter is Jesus Christ the Lord. He himself is the difference. He himself is the division. Go back to the council halls of eternity. When God, as an act of His own free and sovereign will, elected a people to salvation, He chose who would be saved. As an act of His will, He elected some and He passed by others. That's so, isn't it? What's the difference? According, Ephesians 1:4 says, "According as He hath chosen us." What are the next two words? "In Him." Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Why is it that some stand forgiven before God and some do not? There are some people who all their sins are forgiven. And if I'm forgiven, sins I haven't even committed yet, that I will commit if I live, they've already been forgiven. They've already been put away. There are some people who stand forgiven before God, forgiven of all their sins. There are some people who stand in their sins who are not forgiven. What is the difference? The difference is the blood of Jesus Christ. He said, "I lay down my life for the sheep. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring." It's the blood of Christ that's the difference. Why is it that some stand without fault before God, justified before His thrice holy throne, and some still stand condemned? What is the difference? His righteousness is imputed by God the Father to every single one of His people. And I stand in His righteousness. That is the difference. Why is it that some people actually love Jesus Christ and some people have no love for Him? The Spirit of Christ is the difference. He gave me the love I have. He gave me the faith I have. He gave me the repentance I have. All I have, He gave me. God the Spirit is the difference. What's the difference between the saved and the lost? The Lord Jesus Christ. And how clearly this will be seen on Judgment Day, that Jesus Christ Himself is the difference. I love how one wise person answered this question when asked, "Is Jesus Christ really enough?" It's a good question. Is Jesus Christ really enough to bring you into glory and to make you stand faultless before God? And this wise person answered this question like this: "He is if He's all you got." If He's all you got, He's enough. Not only is He enough, He's everything. If you got something else, no, won't do you any good. Am I wrong in saying union with Christ is the only difference? As I'm united to Him, that's the difference. There was a division. There was a separation among the people. Remember how our Lord separated the sheep from the goats? As a shepherd divided the sheep from the goats? It says that. He's the one who made the... He Himself is the difference. Now, I don't have to work very hard at all at convincing any believer of that. Y'all know that, don't you? You believe it from the very depths of your heart. He himself is the difference. Now, here's the second angle I want to look at this from. Jesus Christ himself is the division. He is the separation. He's the difference. And Christ himself is the issue. The division that exists between people is because of him. His person. His work. His words are always the point of conflict. Now, there are certain doctrines from the Word of God that always create division. It just happens. In the previous chapter, in John chapter 6, the Lord brought a message that caused 5,000 people to separate themselves from him. Look in verse 66 of John chapter 6. From that time, after our Lord had delivered this particular sermon, from that time, many of his disciples, they claimed to be his disciples, but they went back and walked no more with him. They said, we're not going to have anything to do with him after this message. Now, in this one message, the Lord Jesus Christ preached clearly what has come to be known as the doctrine of grace. Now, what is meant by the doctrine of grace? Well, let me show you the high points in this chapter. Verse 44. No man, our Lord says, can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Now, our Lord says human sinfulness and depravity is such that we actually lack the ability to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Can't do it. Not unless you're drawn by the Father. You can't do it. Look in verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. That's what's called unconditional election. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Look in verse 39. This is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing. That's what's known as limited atonement. Christ dying for the elect and actually accomplishing their salvation. Look in verse 45 of this same sermon. It's written in the prophets, they shall be all taught of God, every single one of them. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father comes to me. There we have what's called irresistible grace. And look in verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Verse 54, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. Not temporary life, but eternal life. And I'll raise him up at the last day, for my flesh is meat and drink. Indeed, my blood is drink. Verse 58, this is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat man and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. There we have the perseverance and the preservation of God's people. Now that's all laid out very clearly in this one message by our Lord. And let me say this. This is not Calvinism. This is the gospel. That word Calvinism, get rid of it. This is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in all of these, do I call them points of doctrine? It's the doctrine of Christ. In every one of these things, he himself is the issue. Let me show you that. When we talk about total depravity, that means we're born into this world with a sinful nature that is unable to believe, unable to repent, unable to understand, unable to hear, unable to call upon the name of the Lord. That's what the Scripture says regarding us. Totally depraved. Totally depraved. Altogether. Now, the issue of total... If you loosen up on that in any way, you know what that means? That means we're not totally dependent upon him. That is the issue. We're not. If I say, if I deny that in any way and give man any ability whatsoever to do anything to save himself, all I say by that is we're not totally dependent upon him. And that, my dear friends, is blasphemy, isn't it? I am totally and completely altogether dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ for all my salvation. Talk about unconditional election. That's that holy, glorious truth that God, as an act of His free and sovereign will, chose who would be saved in Christ before time began. What's the issue of election? Is it that God, He foresaw, I believe, He foresaw it? No! I was chosen in Him, united to Him. And the issue of election is who's running the show? Who's in control? Our Lord said to His disciples, "You did not choose me, but I chose you." I love the language right there. You didn't choose me. I chose you. And every believer in here says, "Amen." We know that. That's our experience. He's the issue in election. He is the issue. Talk about limited atonement. The fact that Christ died for the elect and accomplish their salvation and put away their sins. Here's what the issue of limited atonement is. Who died? Whose precious blood was shed? Is it possible for Him, in His glorious person, to shed His precious blood for somebody and put away for their sins and then still wind up in hell? Why, the very thought of that is blasphemy. It's just repugnant to the believer. If He shed His precious blood, I must be saved. It's Christ that died. That's the answer to everything. It's Christ that died. Yea, rather, that's risen again, who's even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Talk about irresistible grace. Irresistible grace. What's the issue of irresistible grace? Can His power be resisted? We're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. You can tell me he can intend to do something and somebody say no, he can't get his work done? He's invincible in power. And not only that, when we talk about irresistible grace, He's irresistible. I'll guarantee you, if you've ever seen Him, you can't resist Him. You can't not believe. Try it. If you're a believer, try to not believe on Him. Can't do it, can you? I'm not going to believe it can't be done. Because you find Him irresistible. When we talk about the perseverance of God's saints, how they'll persevere all the way to the end and they won't fall away. When we talk about the perseverance of God's saints, to think that He could elect somebody, He could die for them, He could draw them by His grace and they end up falling away. Why, that's repugnant. He said, "I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish." You see the division. The doctrine that I've just stated, it creates division. There's no question about that. I mean, people get in conflict over this. But understand what the issue is. He Himself is the issue. The division among the people was because of Him. And all divisions have this as their essence. It's a division because of Him. Now here's the one question God has for me and for you. What do you think of Jesus Christ? Whose son is He? What do you think of His person? Do you believe He's God over all, blessed forever, and yet bone of our bones, flesh of our flesh, the man Christ Jesus? What do you believe regarding His person? What do you believe regarding His work? Do you believe that He actually put away the sins of everybody He died for? Do you believe His righteousness? He obeyed God's law and actually made every one of God's people perfectly righteous in God's sight by what He did? Do you believe that? What do you think of His offices? What do you think of His office as the prophet, the very Word of God? Does it thrill you? What do you think of his office as priest? Do you believe if he represents you before the Father, you're accepted? What do you think of his office as king? Do you really believe that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, controlling everything? Not he's got the right to be, but that he is. Not that his will ought to be done, but that his will is done in all things. What do you think of Jesus Christ? That's the only issue. There are no other issues. I want to close with this thought. While there is a division because of him, there also is true unity. Genuine unity. A oneness between God's people because of him. You know, Paul asked this question in 1 Corinthians 1:10. He said, is Christ divided? Are there divisions within the body of Christ? Are there different denominations within the body of Christ? Some with this emphasis and others with that. That is all purely man-made, isn't it? Is Christ divided? The answer is no. No, Christ is not divided. Oh, I wish we had unity. We have unity in Christ. It's real. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is God? Me and you have some unity, don't we? Do you believe that Jesus Christ really is man? The Son of Man? Yes, I do. We have some unity, don't we? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is all in the Word of God? You really believe that this book is all about Him? Then, beloved, we have unity. Do you believe that He is all in salvation? Then we're united, aren't we? A true union of heart and soul. Do you really believe that His righteousness, His obedience, is the only righteousness there is? Do you believe that? Then, beloved, we're united. It's a true union of heart and soul. Do you believe that He only is the object of faith? Do you believe that He only is the reason for assurance? I have assurance of my salvation because of Him. No other reason. Do you believe that? Then we have true unity. Do you believe that He is all to be preached? I'm not asking you if you know the right answer to it, but do you really believe that? He is all to be preached. Well, if you believe that, we have unity, don't we? There is a true union. And this unity is more than folks who believe the same thing. It's not, well, you know, if you agree with me, we're united. That's not what this is about. It goes much further than that. Turn with me to John 17. Verse 20. These are the words of our Lord Jesus as He prays for His people. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on Me through their word, that they all may be one. As Thou, Father, art in Me, and I in Thee, that they also may be one in Us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me. And the glory which Thou gavest Me, I've given them, that they may be one, even as We are one. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Now there is the unity of God's children. There is the oneness of God's children. Truly, fellowship, fellows in the same ship, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is our union. That is our unity. So we see clearly that the Bible teaches that there is a division. There is a great gulf. There is a separation. And that separation is Him. That division is because of Him. Now I want you to hear me real clearly. Is there somebody who's thinking, I'm separated? I'm not one of those people. There's a divide. There's a big division. I'm not one of them. I feel so isolated. I feel so by myself. I'm not one of those people. Boy, it's a horrible thought, isn't it? But do you know it's a blessed thought? If you really believe I'm separated, I'm by myself, I'm unfit, I'm unclean, my sin has separated me. What a blessed revelation God's given you. That person who has been separated, and they see that by your sin. Your sins have separated you. You don't blame God's sovereignty, you blame your sin. That's your problem. That person who is a sinner, separated, that person is called upon to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You're the one to trust Christ. You're the one to trust Him as your righteousness because you really believe you don't have any personal righteousness. And it is easy. It's simple to trust Him as your righteousness before God when you don't have any. I'm doing it right now. You know, right now, by His grace, faith's an easy thing. It gets hard when I try to believe. But when I see the obviousness of it, it's easy to believe. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. If you are without strength and ungodly, I can guarantee you Jesus Christ died for you. Isn't that wonderful? Let's pray. Lord, we ask in Christ's blessed name that we might be enabled by your grace to see that He Himself is the issue, that He is the difference. And Lord, I ask in Christ's blessed name that you will enable by your grace each person in this room to believe on thy dear Son. Bless us, O Lord, for Christ's sake. In His name we pray. Amen.